Tov, Boker Tov, studying here on Mud Yomi, Sechat Shabbat, Kilat Shiftei Yisrael, Ranana on Zoom, and we are up to Zayin Amud Bet. Okay, we're going to do Zayin Amud Bet today, Sechat Shabbat. So I just want to just give you a roadmap. You know, we have another few pages of Hotza'ah, of carrying, but we're soon going to get to many, many different and more topics. So, you know, this is not what all of Masechet Shabbat is about. This is just the beginning. It is interesting. Masechet Shabbat opens up with some of the tougher topics and more technical topics of Hotza'ah, which also draw from Masechet Erevin, which will be the next Masechet Bezrat Hashem. But obviously Shabbat again relates to everything, all of existence. And we will certainly move on to a number of topics. So hold tight, hang in there, and we're going to move through this. So, good. We are up to Zayin Amud Bet, and we spoke about how the Carmelit has a leniency or features of the Reshut HaRabim and Reshut HaYachid. What are some of these features? So the Carmelit, remember, is a rabbinic domain. We have Reshut HaRabim, which is, you know, prohibited to carry for Amot there. It's also prohibited to carry from Reshut HaRabim to Reshut HaYachid. And that is a public thoroughfare, we'll call it. Reshut HaYachid is something that's 4x4 tfachim. 10 tefachim high, its own separate domain surrounded by a fence, or it's high up, or it's deep down in the ground, it's dug into the ground, that is a Reshut HaYachid. The Carmelit is something that's 4x4 tefachim, and it's at least 3 tefachim high, okay? And it's also its own domain, but it's not a public thoroughfare. So it has some of the leniencies of each of them. So what are some of the leniencies? So we just to summarize, on the top of Zayin Amud Bet, that if it has a 4x4 tfachim, you know, if it's 4x4 width and length, then it becomes, you have a, just like a Reshut HaYachid, but it's a Carmelit, because it's not 10 tfachim high. And you also have one of the leniencies of the Reshut HaRabim. Reshut HaRabim is only until 10 tfachim high, which is about waist length, okay, 76 centimeters off the ground. Above that is a Makom Ptur. So two, above a Carmelit, 10 tefachim, anything above 10 tefachim of a Carmelit is also in Makom Ptur. Good. And there were some examples of a Carmelit. We spoke about the ocean, a lake. We spoke about some of the vendors, where the people sit and sell things in the marketplace. So there are different areas that are considered a Carmelit. Good. Let's start with Gufa. It's about 10 lines down. Zayin Amud Bet, Gufa. Amar of Gidl, Amar of Chia Bar Yosef, Amar Rav. Okay, now we're going to talk about a case that we had yesterday, or yeah, 2 days before, 2 days ago, and we'll continue to discuss it. So buy it. You have a house. She'ein tocho yud, v'keiriyo mashlimo liyud. This is a very, very small house. How do I know this house is so small? Because it's from the top to bottom, it's not even 10 tefachim high. Okay, how do you get the 10 tefachim? So this is a very, very little house. Think of a kid's playhouse. Okay, it's 4x4 tefachim in length and width, but it's less than 10 tefachim high. What gives it the 10 tefachim? The keriyo, mashlimo, liyud. So the roof itself is thick, and that gets you to 10 tefachim. So if you're standing inside, you don't hit 10 tefachim because the roof blocks you. It's only, 9 tefachim. And now, so what's the halacha? Al gago mutar litaltel bikulo. And if you're standing on top of this house, you're allowed to walk and carry and move around because this is a classic Reshut HaYachid, right? You have 4x4 and it's 10 tefachim high. Boker Tov, Joe. 10 tefachim high, we're on Zayin Amud Bet, 7b. 10 tefachim high by the time, you know, once you're standing on the roof. What about inside? So inside, bitocho, e metaltelim bo elad bedalad amot. Inside, so you could only walk 4 amot. So think of this house, it's actually very wide, and it's very long, okay? Let's say it's 200 meters, okay, across, but it's still only 10 tefachim high when you're on top of it. Okay, so inside, you could only walk then 4 amot. Why 4 amot? Because we treat this like a Carmelit. It's a Carmelit. It's at least 4x4 tefachim, but it's not 10 tefachim high. This has the status of a Carmelit. So Amar Abaye. Abaye says, I have a solution for you. Im chakak bo dalid al dalid v'hishlimo liyud mutalat atal bikulo. Abaye says, you know what we're going to do? We're going to dig in the ground. a space of 4x4 tvachim, dig into the ground, and where that you dig into the ground, that space from the ground to the ceiling will be 10 tvachim. Okay, so now we've created a space of at least four by four tvachim width and length, and 10 tvachim by digging into the ground. Now you haven't dug out the whole ground. You've just dug out one space, chakak, of 4x4 tvachim, and Abayi suggests that this now makes this whole space into a reshut hayachid. And now you could carry inside the whole distance, even more than 4 amot. My time, what's Abayi's reasoning? Heve chore reshut hayachid. Chore reshut hayachid, ki reshut hayachid dami. It's like a chor, it's like a crevice of a reshut hayachid, and a crevice of a reshut hayachid has the status of a reshut hayachid. Okay, so you're digging in the middle of this space, okay? Not even close to the walls itself. Now, we're going to talk about Sukkot for 1 second now, okay? So, yes, sure. Rabbi,
so, if you've got the four walls, you've got an Erev, why can't you carry a net? Why do you need it?
So the point is that it's a very good question. You have the four walls. So why isn't this considered a Reshut Hayachid? So the answer is, it's only a reshut hayachid if it's 10 tfachim high. But you don't have 10 tfachim unless you dig into the ground a little bit. So even an Erev, essentially, we'll talk about what an Erev is.
Erev is sorry, Rabbi? I'm sorry.
I sent you a picture on WhatsApp of such a house from Steinsatz.
Let me see. WhatsApp for a second. Where did you send it to?
Unmute yourself.
Wait, am I on mute?
No. Pinchas is.
Okay. Yeah. Unmute yourself, Pinchas.
That's from Steinsatz.
Let me see the... send it into the Amud Yomi group already.
That's what I did.
Oh, you did. Okay, did not come through. It didn't come through for me. It's very strange. Yeah, for some reason I didn't see it come through here. Give me a second. Oh, it didn't come through. Let me just see if my what's going on. Oh, it was on the wrong Wi-Fi. Okay. Oh, I see now. Okay. I'm going to just share this on the screen so that everybody can see. 1 second, share screen. Okay, you see this? Everybody see this? You see it's a reshut, the kerio, the roof is, gets you to the full 10 tefachim, so you dig into the ground, exactly. Okay, this is exactly what Abayi is suggesting that you do. So Steve, to get back to your question, basically you have the four walls, but it's not high enough. The four walls still need to be 10 tvachim high. So we've created 10 tvachim by digging into the ground. Now, let's contrast this with Masechet Sukkot.
Excuse me, Rabbi?
Yeah.
Sorry. Can we just take a step back and say, you're talking about, four walls, you're talking about 10 tvachim, whatever, Pesedo Gamol. But at the same time, can we ask what constitutes a house, as opposed to a box? It has to be something practical that people can live in.
Forget about that. We don't care about what a house is or whether you could live in it. All we care about is the measurements for a reshut hayachid. Reshut hayachid are 4 tvachim by 4 tvachim, 10 tvachim high. And we're trying to create that in this space. Okay? So if you dig into the ground in the center, you can make it happen. Now, the Tosfot asks the following question. Wait a second, we have the same principle by a sukkah. A sukkah also needs to be 10 tefachim high, the walls of a sukkah. And the Gemara in Masechet Sukkah, Avdalah Amud Aleph, discusses, chakak ba lahashlimah liyud, imesh misfar chakak leto gimel tefachim psula, vachon migimel ksherah. So Tosfot raises the following question. When it comes to Masechet Sukkot, you also need a wall, a dofen, that 10 tefachim high. And if this dofen is, the wall is not 10 tefachim high, and you dig into the ground, that's also a solution by Masechet Sukkah, but where you dig into the ground needs to be within 3 tefachim of the wall itself. Here we're allowing you to build, to dig in the middle of a very large space, and it's very far from the walls. Why by Masechet Sukkot? You need to have this much closer to the wall itself. This is the question. A number of Rishonim addressed this. I'll just share with you Tosfot's answer. The Tirex, the shiny hatam, Gabi Sukkah, Divinam are on the Tosfot on the top right, Gabi Sukkah, Divinam Shumachitzot, Smuchot, Uschach. The difference there is that you need the walls to be close to the Schach. Okay, and you need the walls, which need to be 10 tvachim deep, close to the schach. And if it's within 3 tvachim, we assume it, the space can decompresses. But the whereas in Masechet Shabbat, we don't care about the mechitzot being close to the ceiling. We don't have this principle of the mechitzot, the walls being close to the schach. There's no schach here. Okay, so that's the difference between Sukkot and Shabbat, okay? We will look at some other differences between them. And Bezrat Hashem, when we get to Masechet Sukkot, you'll see the number of the principles here about Rishuyot and Shabbat, you know, are brought down there by Sukkot. Let's continue in the Gemara. So now we're going to talk about crevices in a Rishut Yachid and a Rishut Rabim. In the Itmar, Chore Rishut Yachid ki Rishut Yachid Damu. Crevices in Rishut Yachid are like Rishut Yachid. Chore Rishut Rabim. What about crevices in Rishut Rabim? So here we have a machloket. Abayi v'Rava. Abayi omer kirshut harabim damu. Abayi says it's like a rishut harabim. Rava omer lav kirshut harabim damu. Rava says no, it's not like rishut harabim. What do we mean when we talk about a crevice? So we're talking about like a space in the wall, which as its own domain is not going to be a rishut hayachid or its own space, but it connects to a rishut harabim or rishut hayachid. So what space, you know, what status is it going to have? So we have a machloket about rishut harabim. We actually had this come up in Masechet Brachot, where we spoke about going to the bathroom with your tefillin on, and that you have to put your tefillin in the crevice, the Chorei Rishut Arabim or Chorei Rishut Yachid. When you're in the bathroom, is that sufficient in terms of not bringing your tefillin into the Shirikim? So Amar Le Abayi, Rava Le Abayi. So Rava is going to argue with Abayi, and he says as follows. Lidi Dachta Amarta Chorei Rishut Arabim Kirshut Arabim Damu. According to you, who says the crevice in Rishut Arabim is like, it has the same status as Rishut Arabim. How is it different than this? So this is a case actually that we had 2 days ago. Okay, and it was a case where you have a space like you have the Rishut Arabim, the public thoroughfare. Okay, and then you have a person's yard, a person's open space. There's like an indentation, and that this is connected to the Rishut Arabim, but the person owns this land. Okay, so you could technically walk there. And we say that's considered a Keren Zavid, it's like a corner. Okay, that's close to Rishut Arabim. And yet we don't say that it has the status of Rishut Arabim. Okay, so Viteve Kachor Rishut Arabim. So Rava says to Abayi, why don't you make this like, you know, the like Rishut Arabim? So Abayi answers, Hatam lo nicha tashmishte. He says, no, there, it's not useful if you're in Rishut Rabim, because you have to go out off the path. Whereas here, this is useful for Rishut Rabim. Meaning, Achor Rishut Rabim has the status of Rishut Rabim when it's useful to the person. Okay, so Rava wanted to use this as a kasha against Abaye, but it's not a kasha, because it's not useful, and therefore it doesn't take on the status of Rishut Rabim. None. We're going to now bring a second proof. Okay, this proof comes from Masechet Shabbat later on Daf Kuf Amud Aleph. Okay, and Rava is going to ask Abayi another question. Remember, Rava says a crevice is not like Rishut Rabim, whereas Abayi says it does. So Tanan, Hazorek Dalad Amot Bekote Lemala Miyud. If you throw something, let's say I throw something Dalad Amot in Rishut Rabim. So I'm throwing something Dalad Amot. Let's say I'm throwing this card. The card here, I'm throwing it Dalad Amot. We're going to talk about the height of this object. If it lands on the kotel above 10 tfachim, kizorek ba'avir, that is like throwing something in the air. Why? Because it lands above 10 tfachim. And that we know is a makom ptur, above a rishut rabim. Lamata miyud tfachim, if it lands beneath 10 tfachim, kizorek ba'aretz, it's like throwing it on the land and you're chayav, for throwing something for tzvachim in Rishut Rabim. And we discussed there on Dafkov, Mai Kizorek Ba'aretz. What does this mean that it's like throwing it on the land? The halo nach. But it doesn't actually land. Meaning, I throw it, it's going to hit the wall, and then it's going to bounce off and come back, and it won't be a full four tzvachim, four amot. It won't be thrown. The net result is that it won't land beyond four amot in Rishut HaRabim, which is what makes you chaya for Havara Rishut HaRabim. So we have to make a new kimta. We establish, you know what the case is? It's a case where you take a date cake. Okay, a date cake. No, I'm not throwing a card. I'm actually throwing a date cake. Why does it matter that I'm throwing a date cake? A date cake is going to stick to the wall. Imagine like throwing slime. You throw slime, it's going to stick to the wall. So it will go for a moat. So what's the situation? Now we've established our situation. I'm throwing a date cake. I throw it at the wall. It's exactly for a moat, but it's going to stick to the wall. And therefore, I have violated Shabbat if it's below 10 tzvachim. It's above 10 tzvachim, then it's a makom ptur, and you're not chayav. So Rava asks Abaye, V'yisaka daita chorei reshut ha'arabim ki reshut ha'arabim damu, lama li l'ukma b'dveila shmeina, l'ukma b'tzror v'cheifet, u'denach b'chor. So Rava says to Abaye, wait a second. If you think that a crevice of a reshut ha'arabim is like a reshut ha'arabim damu, so let's establish, let's take this case. Instead of saying, I was throwing an object originally, a card that's going to bounce off. Why don't we say instead that it lands in the crevice of the Rishut HaRabim, instead of saying that we have to be talking about a date cake, which is going to stick to the wall. That would be a much better ukimta, that would be a better way of resolving the question. And the fact that we don't do that, suggests that the crevice of a Rishut HaRabim is not like Rishut HaRabim. We didn't come up with that ukimta, because that's not how we paskin. This is a kashya against Abaye from Rava. So the Gemara answers, Zimnin de Mishani la Shaini Tzor v'chevet de Mahader, v'ati Zimnin de Mishani la v'kotel de Leit Bechor. So Abaye would answer this question, different ways. He would give two different answers to it, sometimes this, sometimes that. Abaye would resolve this answer, first of all, by saying, that first of all, we didn't make this ukimta that there's a Chor Rishut HaRabim. The shiny tzur v'cheifetz came into mahadir v'ati, that a tzur, an object, a pebble or an object, are different because they, jump back at you, okay? And therefore, that's why he dafka said it's a tvela, it has to be a date cake. And zimni mishanali, sometimes he would answer, the kotel de lepe chor. Sometimes it's a kotel that doesn't have a chor in it. It doesn't actually have a crevice in it. And therefore, because of that, we have to say, because of either of these two reasons, we have to say, no, it was a date cake that sticks to the wall. Okay, now Abaye is going to, sort of prove his answer. How do we know this, that there's no chor, there's no hole, there's no crevice in Rishut HaRabim? Mimai, mitakatani reisha, zarak namala miyut vachim, kizorek ba'avir. V'isakadaitach, bekodol te'epe chor, amai kizorek ba'avir, hanach b'chor. So we say, how do I know that there's no crevice here, right? Meaning the Mishnah would be a proof against Abaye because it doesn't have this idea of a crevice of a Rishut HaRabim, okay? And the question is, why doesn't it have that situation? So Abaye is saying, listen, that's not the case there. Now, how do we know that it's not the case there? Because if so, it wouldn't have used the language, Zarak l'malam yud tfachim, kezorek ba'avir, v'yisakadai v'kotel di bechor, amai kezorek ba'avir, hanach bechor. It shouldn't say that it lands in the air on the side of the wall. It should say that it actually lands in the chor. So again, this is proof for Abaye that there's no crevice in that case, and that's why, and it's not a question against him. And if you want to say, wait a second, maybe the Mishnah is talking about a case where the crevice is not 4x4 tfachim. The Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Chiya Zarak L'malam Yud Tfachim V'Halcha V'Nachal B'chor Kol Shehu Banu L'machlok Et Rabbi Meir V'Rabbanan Rabbi Meir Savar Chokin Nashtim V'Rabbanan Savri Ein Chokin Nashtim Lav Shmamina B'Kot Adlei B'chor Shmamina. But maybe you want to say, wait a second, maybe the chor is, maybe there is a chor, but there's a case where there's less than 4 Tfachim on this chor. And therefore we say, it's as if it lands on the side of the wall. Why? Because the chor itself is not 4x4 tzvachim, and that's why we didn't mention it. The Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Chiya, Zarak Lemala Me'asra, Da'alcha Me'alcha B'chor Kolshu. If you throw something above 10 tzvachim and it rolls, and then it lands in a chor, a crevice, whatever it is, any crevice, Kolshu, a chor that doesn't have 4x4 tzvachim, Then we've gone to a machloket Rabbi Meir of Rabbanan. Okay, now, this is a very long proof here, and I want to just break it down for a second. What is this machloket here between Rabbi Meir and Rabbanan? This is a machloket in Masechet Yomad Daf Yud Aleph Amud Bet that discusses the walls of a for a mezuzah. In order to have to put up a mezuzah on a wall, okay, you need, first of all, two mezuzot and a mashkof. Okay? So you need two sides to a door and a top. Okay? Now, how large do they need to be? They need to be 4 tfachim across the mashkof and 10 tfachim high. Now, what happens if at some point the doorway is less wide than 4 tfachim? Okay? Or if it's like curved and it's not going to be as high as 10 tfachim. There's a very small doorway, by the way. So what do you do if that's the case? So there's a machloket between Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan. And the machloket is chokekin lehashlim. Chokekin lehashlim is, do we consider, we say, wait a second, maybe we sort of cut out part of the doorway. And we say, no, it's really as if it is 4 tfachim by 10 tfachim high. So this is a machloket between Rabbi Meir and Rabbanan about chokekin lehashlim. Rabbi Meir savar chokekin lehashlim. So you cut out part of the doorway, and we act really as if it is 4 tfachim by 10 tfachim high. Rabbanan savri ein chokekin lehashlim. Rabbanan say we don't chokekin lehashlim. Elala. Okay. So and by the way, it's a stam, it's a mishnah, and we follow Rabbi Meir. So what does Rabbi Meir say here? Rabbi Meir says here chokekin lehashlim. Elala v'shmamina bekot od leit bechor shmamina. So what we're saying here is as follows, that because of this machloket here, we're drawing from this machloket here in Masechet Yoma about the mezuzah, and we say, wait a second, maybe there's this chor that's not 4 by 4 tfachim, which is why it's not mentioned, but we say, wait a second, we pass like Rabbi Meir, that we're chokekin lehashlim, and we take a space that's 4 by 4 tfachim, even if it's not fully 4 by 4, we would make it 4 by 4, a space of 4 by 4, and therefore, you would have to count the chor that's in the Rishut HaRabim. You can't deny its existence here. So what's the Gemara's answer now? Now we have a proof. Lav shmamina bekodo delayt bechor shmamina. It must be a case where there's no chor. There is no chor whatsoever, and therefore this is not a question against Abaye. Okay, so let's summarize what we this very long proof here. Rava and Abaye argue about a crevice that's in a Rishut HaRabim. Does it have the status of a Rishut HaRabim or a Rishut HaYachid? Abaye says it's like a Rishut HaRabim, and the Rebbe says it is not like a Rishut HaRabim. We have a case in Masechet Shabbat Daf Kuf, where we talk about throwing something, and we throw something into the air, and we, in order to make you chayav, we have a situation where you throw it, beneath 10 tfachim, and it lands, and now our question is, but it doesn't actually go for amot. So how could you say that you're chayav? So we say, that's a case where it's a date cake. You have to say it's a date cake. And the question is, against Abaye, why don't we say, I don't understand, just make an easier ukimta, make an easier case and say that it's a case where it landed in a chor of a Rishut HaRabim. And yet a chor of a Rishut HaRabim is not like a Rishut HaRabim. Kasha against Abaye. Okay, so Abaye needs to respond to this and say that there was no chor, essentially. There was no chor. And that's why we didn't use that ukimta in this particular case. Okay, so this is the concept of a chor. It's like a crevice, and the question is, it's a crevice in a wall. Does it have the status of a Rishut HaRabim or not? Machloket Rava and Abaye, and we leave it unresolved who's right. We didn't bring a proof in either direction, but what we have done we've dismissed the proofs, two proofs that Rava brings against Abaye in this situation. Let's do a little bit more. Gufa Amrav Chizda Naatz Kaneh Bereshut HaYachid V'Zarak V'Nach Al Gabav. Okay, so let's say you take a pole, okay, and you put this in Reshut HaYachid, okay? One second. Yeah, so you have this Kaneh Bereshut HaYachid, and then you take an object, Zarak Chayfetz, Zarak V'Nach Al Gabav, Afilu Gavoa Me'a Machayav, Mibayin Sh'Rishut Yachid Ola Ad Rakia. So let's say I'm in Rishut HaRabim right here, okay? And I take, let's say I create this very high pole, very high tower in the Rishut HaYachid, and I throw something from the Rishut HaBim very high up, and it lands in the Rishut HaYachid. Now, where's it landing in the Rishut HaYachid? On this very tall pole in Rishut HaYachid. And what does Rav Chisda say? Rav Chisda says that you are chayav. Why? The entire space above Rishut HaYachid is Rishut HaYachid. Think of air rights. What's the status of air rights? Okay, I'll tell you a good story, quick story. By Shlomo Riskin, when he managed to get a funder to buy the space to build Lincoln Square on 68th Street in Amsterdam in New York City, he put in a very small request. Okay, and he just said, would you mind giving us the air rights as well? Okay, and this is how they got the air rights to Lincoln Square Synagogue, which was sold for $30 million a few years later. Okay, it was a small question. But yeah, do you mind just giving us the air rights? Air rights matter a big deal. When it comes to Rishut HaYachid, the air rights go ad l'rakia until Shamayim is considered a Rishut HaYachid. When it comes to Rishut HaYachid, we mentioned above 10 tefachim is already a makom p'tur. So this is what Rav Chisda says. So lema, we say lema Rav Chisda de Amar Kerebi. Maybe Rav Chisda is just quoting the Shita of Rebbe de Tanya, Zarak v'nach al-gabi ziz. Kol shehu, Rabbi Mechayev, Chachamim Potrim. If you throw something, what does Rabbi say? You throw an object, okay, onto Aziz. Aziz is something that's coming out from the wall, okay, but it doesn't have a 4x4 tefachim. Rabbi Mechayev, Chachamim Potrim. Okay, look at Rashi here. Rashi points out that Amar Rabbi, the lo bayanacha al gabi makom dalad. So the situation here is, one second, you have a ziz. The ziz that's part of Rishut HaYachid, okay? It's not 4x4, and you throw it from Rishut HaRabim to this ziz, okay? And Rebbe says, you are chayav, okay? And what do we learn from here? We know that you don't need a space of dalid al dalid. Look at Rashi. Zarak v'nach v'chulei kasag adaitach merishut HaRabim merishut HaYachid. Right now, we assume you're throwing something from Rishut HaRabim to the Rishut HaYachid onto the Ziz. And maybe this is proof for Shitat Rebbe, that Rav Chisda is paskening like Rebbe, that this kaneh that you also put up doesn't have to be 4x4. Okay? So maybe we can bring proof for Rebbe from here. And the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Birshut HaYachid, Udukule Amelo Pligi, Ked Rav Chisda. He says, no. No, we're not. He says Rav Chisda's statement actually has nothing to do with the machloket of Rebbe and the Chachamim, because we're talking about a case here where it lands on something less than 4x4 tefachim in Rishut HaYachid. If it's in Rishut HaRabim, that's one thing. That's where there's a machloket. We're talking about here where it lands in Rishut HaYachid. So the kuli amelo pligi kid Rav Chisda. Everybody agrees that in Rishut HaYachid, you don't need something 4x4 tefachim because it's already in the space of Rishut HaYachid. The whole space is Rishut HaYachid. It doesn't need to land on something 4x4. Alahacha, what are we talking about here in the machloka between Rebbe and the Chachamim? Bilan omed Rishut HaYachid v'nofo notel Rishut HaRabim. We're talking about a case of a tree that stands in Rishut HaYachid, but its leaves, its branches spread out and lean into the Rishut HaRabim. Vizarak v'nach anofo, and you throw something and it lands on the nofo. We actually already had this case. Rebbe Savar Minan Shadi nofo bater ikaro. Rebbe says the branches are go by the roots, and the roots are in Rishut HaYachid. So it's as if you threw something on Rishut HaYachid, even though the branches are not 4x4 tefachim, you're still chayav. Rabbanan Savidor Minan Shadi nofo bater ikaro. Rabbanan say no, we don't say that the branches follow after the roots, and therefore this is not considered Rishut HaYachid, rather this is considered Rishut HaRabim, and you're a patur because you threw something in the Rishut HaRabim. Okay, we're going to stop here. We will continue with more throwing things in the Rishut HaRabim, Rishut HaYachid, and again, another two blot or so, and then we move on to some new topics. Wishing everybody Shabbat Shalom Umevarach, Shabbat Nachamu, which should be a Shabbat of comfort, should be a Shabbat of consolation for us and all of Am Yisrael, and low virus infections. That's what we have to daven for. Wishing everybody a good Shabbat. We'll continue Be'ezrat Hashem on Sunday morning.